You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and I'm joined today by my co-host, my friend, and my colleague, Sarah Rand. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Bill.
How are you?
I am doing wonderful.
Why are you doing so wonderful?
Well, I've got 38,000 of my closest friends here at the Javits Center in New York City.
We must be at the big show.
We are.
Yes, this is a great event bringing together some extraordinary people that are doing extraordinary things in an industry that it's extraordinary in and of itself.
Yes.
And we've got an extraordinary podcast coming up. We're very excited that we have Lori Flees. She's the Senior Vice President of Next Generation Retail and Principal Store Number 8 for Walmart. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So, Lori, tell us your background. How have you come to where you are today?
Sure. I started with Walmart 4 years ago after 17 years in consulting with Bain & Company. I started at Walmart leading corporate strategy and development and did that for a little less than 4 years, helping our executive team outline our priorities, lay out a M&A strategy that included both e-commerce acquisitions like Jet, as well as some portfolio shaping on the international side. And once we bought Jet, was asked to lead the acceleration or integration process of bringing our e-commerce businesses together underneath Mark Lori. And then 4 months ago, took on a new assignment to lead store number 8 and our strategic partnerships, which are focused on defining the next generation of retail.
Wow. That's not much.
It's a lot of fun. That's what it is.
I mean, it's got to be one of the most interesting jobs in Walmart to be on top of that every single day and kind of looking into the future. What does the future of retail look like?
I think there are a lot of interesting jobs at Walmart, given our scale and the investments that we're making in our associates. This is an exciting job, really thinking about where retail's going and how to invest in the capabilities and partnerships that are going to ensure that Walmart wins in the future.
I think it's so interesting that you came from Bain over to the retail industry. As a insider now, what has surprised you most about retail?
I'm not sure there's anything that surprised me about retail. It is a every day, every touch point with a customer business. And so it's the law of numbers and making sure that you deliver consistently to customers a great proposition such that they're willing to pass by other options to come to you. What surprised me really is Walmart and how purpose-driven Walmart is, and how we partner with our suppliers and other partners in order to win and serve customers better. I don't think a lot of people know how sort of innate the purpose of saving people money so they can live better is a part of Walmart, but it is pervasive in everything we do. And the fact that we've been partnering for years with suppliers to deliver customers value and quality, not just in the products they buy, but also in the experience that their customers have. Sometimes Walmart gets positioned as the big gorilla, and I actually don't think we're that at all.
So how does, in that purpose conversation and saving everybody money, how does store number 8 fit into that?
It's a great question. So I think store number 8, if you think about saving people money, there are two parts. One is the physical money, and two is time, because in today's world, time is as much a currency for families and busy families as actual dollars. In fact, you have a lot of families who are willing to trade off money for time. And what store number 8 is trying to do is define the future of shopping and the future of supply chain and the future of the store experience to enable more time and more money savings so that families can decide where they want to spend it.
So for those listening that don't know what store number 8 is, it's not an actual store. What is it?
Yeah, it's not a store. It used to be. It used to be a store that Sam Walton used to trial new things and new experiences, new products, new experiences. And what we've done is created a separate entity that is wholly owned and funded by Walmart that is creating capabilities. So it's creating businesses or incubating businesses that will create the capabilities for the future of retail, for the future of Walmart.
We've come a long way since the innovation of Action Alley.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. And we tried to step away from that for a period of time and realized customers liked it. They want it.
Yep, exactly.
What is, as the non-Walmart person at the table, what is Action Alley?
Lori?
Action Alley is basically the aisles of our store that are wide enough to actually have special products that sometimes customers know they want, but are very good price points. And everyday needs or special rollbacks that we offer to customers that are in the middle of the aisle to give customers great access and exposure to those things.
It was an innovation at its time, but it still works today. It's pretty amazing. I mean, it really goes into, you know, a lot of the thinking of things that work and that don't work. And if you move too fast and if you really don't know your customer well enough, you can make a very, very big mistake. And then you have to go back and kind of figure out how to do it right again. And usually that's just going back to what you did before because it works. So speaking of the customer, I mean, it's so interesting to me what you're doing online, you're probably reaching a whole bunch of new customers that have never really been a Walmart shopper before. How do you engage them and really get them loyal to the brand?
Well, first of all, it's not just the Walmart brand anymore. With the acquisition of Jet, we're actually appealing and driving a proposition that's specific to a more urban millennial customer. And what we find is that customer is actually more urban, more millennial, and higher income than even our toughest e-commerce competitors. And what you have to do is really understand how different customer segments what they're looking for and deliver a proposition that speaks to them. So first, it's about really understanding what the brand stands for, so Walmart versus Jet, which customers you're trying to appeal to with what proposition, and then ensuring you deliver on that and deliver it consistently.
Right.
At the end of the day, where Walmart really is driving is an everyday low price. So no gamesmanship, get a good experience, that saves people time and is seamless, but really tries to save them money without spending a lot of time. Jet is going to focus on a more premium assortment focused on urban millennials, where the balance of time and money is going to be slightly different.
Right.
Is that a hard culture to balance when you are touching both sides of that business?
No, I think the fundamentals of retail are still the same. So one is the merchant capabilities, which is about finding great items and serving them up at great prices. That's the same whether the item is a premium, you know, highly premium curated price point brand, or if it's a private brand that's, you know, incredibly great value. I think, and then the supply chain is the same, regardless of what kind of items you're selling. And so part of it is making sure that you leverage the scale in the areas of your business that drive scale. But don't combine things that make the brands different or change the propositions. Keep those separate in order to serve the customers they're intended to serve.
You know, I think one of the challenges, Lori,
He'll be a Walmart for the rest of his life.
We love that.
Five jobs later, he's still going to say, when I was at Walmart.
when Walmart bought the acquisition of Jet, it was very intriguing to me in a lot of conversations that I had with former colleagues in you know, speculating the culture and how that would impact the, you know, the store culture versus the online culture, the associate culture in that store versus the employee culture inside that technology business. How has that worked out?
It's been great. I think it comes down to the fact that Jet was about driving value in retail and everyday goods, and their smart cart process was really about how do I give the customer the tools to drive the savings that they want. So really exposing them to ways that they could save money if they chose to do so. That's very consistent with Walmart. It's a basket building business at Walmart. Jet was driving a basket building business in Jet. And so the fundamental values were the same, the fundamental tenets of the proposition were the same, and the culture between Jet and Walmart.com and even Walmart stores was very complimentary, to the point where, you know, what they were trying to do felt very much like Walmart, mm-hmm. In the way that Walmart wanted to do it. And so it was a very easy and natural bringing together of the cultures and the teams.
That's very interesting.
When you guys are thinking about the future of retail and incubating these businesses, and how far into the future are you looking? You planning?
So we're minimum of 3 to 5 years, but we work on a forecast for what it will look like in 20 years. Obviously,
that's going to be wrong
by design. Nobody can forecast out 20 years. But you want to definitely take the forecast out far enough to know what's going to change in orders of magnitude. Not that you wait for 20 years to see that happen, but things will happen in 3 to 5 years that in 20 years will be very significant. So by taking the forecast out 20 years, it tells you what you should be working on that will be starting in 3 to 5 to become relevant. So we definitely look at it. It's like if when you looked at when Amazon went public in 1997, did anybody project where Amazon would be 20 years from then? No. That's what we're doing. We're looking out 20 years such that we're investing behind the right things. We know that of the investments we do, not all of them will work and be relevant, but we'll make enough bets that we have, that we really do drive almost disruption to ourselves before someone else can disrupt it.
I don't know what I'm eating for lunch today, so I can't even imagine what retail is going to look like in 20 years. My head is going through movies, right?
Well, it's one of those things where you think about how retail is changing right now, and we always say it's a revolution, not an evolution, and it's thinking about what is happening today and how that applies to tomorrow is incredibly difficult, because tomorrow is going to look so different from the day after that. So that job. Do you sleep?
Not much.
In 20 years.
Exactly. Did you ever think you'd be at Walmart?
No, I don't think ever I thought I'd be in Walmart, but I can say that right after my son was born, I decided for the first time to invest in the stock market. And the only shares I invested in was Walmart.
There you go.
So there was something of a precursor, an amount of respect I had for the company and its values.
Right.
So I didn't think I would ever end up at Walmart, but I certainly did respect the company and its mission.
Well, I think being a part of this evolution, I mean, this time, being there today and under Doug's leadership and the leadership of his team, and then just looking at what you're willing to do, the risks that you're willing to take, and to bring the customer along with you and not changing, you know, the core value proposition is really important. Going back to save money, live better, I remember I was on a conference call one time and somebody said, you know, our tagline, save money, live better, there was this long pause. And somebody said, it's not a tagline, it's a mission. So every time anybody says it, I'm always like, that's the mission. It's not a tagline. It's not a saying.
How do you challenge a team to be innovative, thinking that far ahead, while maintaining kind of this brand that is Walmart, that is so ingrained in all these associates?
Well, I think that our full leadership team is driving change. So if you look at what we're doing in stores, in terms of the tools we're providing our associates, as well as the way we're doing training, we're using VR and AR to do training of our associates in ways that we find the learning increases the amount that they actually retain from a learning perspective goes way up. So I would say that there's innovation happening everywhere, from the automation of our supply chain in terms of the way the store operates with use of robotics and data, the use of smart tools, the way we do training. And then in store number 8, it's just a further out view of that. And partly, you know, within our organization, they're looking at, you know, 1 to 2 to 3 years out, and some of the things that they're piloting, they're looking to scale relatively quickly. In store number 8, we push it out even further. Because what we don't want to do is be in conflict with the organization that's running the business, but we want to complement them. So we're really looking at next-gen technologies, which are not going to be at scale in 3 to 5 years, probably more like 5 to 10 years they'll start to scale. But if you don't figure out how those technologies will impact your business and shape them so that they're that it's an easy part of your evolution, you'll find that you're behind and have to invest a lot more once those technologies come to bear. And so we're getting ahead of those and shaping them to drive the change in whether it's our efficiency in the way that we run our business or the customer experience, changing the customer experience by using technology to make it easier, more seamless, more friendly.
I read that an innovative company fails 80 to 90% of the time. Is that you guys? Is that true? Do you buy into that?
Yes. I think you have to do enough tests and trials that you are failing. If you don't fail at all, it means you're not pushing the envelope. So we're really early in this. So I don't want to say that in store number 8, I can tell you what our metrics look like, but I would expect we'll have failures and successes. I can tell you in the business, we've trialed a lot of things. And if you ever come to Bentonville, you often see things that we're trialing and learning that never go beyond Bentonville. Because we learned a lot from them, but what actually works to scale isn't exactly what we tried. And so what I would say, since my time at Walmart in the last 4 years, I've seen a lot of things we've trialed, and they've never really scaled. And I wouldn't say they failed. The only thing that fails is when you don't learn from it.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
If you can
learn
from it
culture
and figure out what works and what doesn't work, then that was a success. So you won't find many people in Bentonville say, well, that was a failure. Because we're trialing a lot of things, and there's a lot that doesn't work as originally envisioned, but a piece of it might work. Whether it's new, store of the future redesigns, and where we take a new store, which we've done in 2 places, Florida and Texas, and we completely changed the store. Now, not all of those things worked as we thought they would. Some worked a lot better, and you'll start to see those move to the rest of our fleet, and some didn't, and we'll learn and evolve those and see if there's other things we can do that drive a better customer experience or more efficiency in the way we operate.
Well, I regret that I just got the high sign that we're getting short on time. But Lori, we have a part of this program that we really enjoy. You're not aware of this, but it's called Rapid Response.
Right.
We're going to ask you a quick question, and you're just going to come up with a quick answer. The first thing that comes to mind, I promise, it's painless.
Okay, we'll mostly. See.
All right, Sarah, take it away.
What is the last thing you bought online?
I bought a present for my husband.
Does he
Lucky
know that
him.
Yet?
No, that's why I'm not telling you what
Don't
it is.
Don't tell anybody.
Exactly. What was the last book that you read?
Probably Good to Great. I read it. I go back and read it again because I think there's some great learnings in there.
Sure.
A lot of companies are good, but it's pushing to great. That's always the challenge.
Yeah.
What's the last thing you geeked out over?
Probably voice commerce, Google Home. I'm trialing all different kinds of things with our partnership with Google, and I'm totally geeked out on voice and the voice experience.
What is the app that you cannot live without?
That's a hard one. There's so many. Probably Spotify, because I love music.
Very good.
How about this? What's the first app you open in the morning?
Don't open an app. I open my email.
Ooh.
Sorry.
Not always the best way to start your day. So what's your biggest pet peeve?
Biggest pet peeve is politics and people not being direct and being honest. I think there's only so much time, and so the more you can get issues on the table, work through them, the faster you move. And it drives a lot of trust and respect.
Sure.
Beach or mountains?
Beach, definitely.
I'm with you on that. Well, Lori, this has been incredibly interesting. I can't thank you enough for taking the time and giving us these insights. It's been incredible to learn what you're doing, what Walmart is doing, and what the industry's doing. Because as Walmart goes, goes the industry. So thank you for your time. We're going to have you back. We're going to talk a little bit more about what you envision 20 years into the future.
I look forward to that.
And Sarah, thank you again for co-hosting today. And to the listeners, thank you for listening to this episode of Retail Gets Real. We're going to post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. From the Big Show in New York City, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.